Support for 89.7 NPR News comes from the James at Ohio State. The best outcomes for treating cancer come from early detection. The James Cancer Diagnostic Center is designed to provide rapid evaluation and a clear diagnosis to those who suspect they have cancer. Learn more at cancer.osu.edu/diagnosticcenter.
Welcome to All Sides with Amy Jurevich. A recent report called Out of Reach by the National Low Income Housing Coalition showed that to afford an average rent for a two-bedroom apartment in Columbus, Columbus renters must earn nearly $28 an hour, while the average income in Columbus is only $22 an hour. And while rent prices went up nationally by a little less than 1% compared to last year, for Columbus, they went up 2.5%. Joining us now to talk about this report and rental rates is Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Joe Ingles. Welcome back to All Sides, Joe.
Thanks for having me, Amy.
Now, a big finding here is that the rent, you know, in Ohio overall is too high, but the rent in Columbus is even higher for the average person to afford. Numbers are hard on the radio, but I'm going to give it a try because the average two-bedroom apartment in Columbus, it costs $1,445, so $1,400 a month.
Mm-hmm.
But to afford that, you have to make $28 an hour. The average income in Columbus is $22 an hour. And I feel like a $6 difference is a big difference. When you were looking at this Out of Reach report, what stuck out to you? Is that big?
It's huge. And I think the thing that stuck out to me the most is how bad it's gotten since 2020. We've had the wages, the lowest wages in Ohio have, and elsewhere. This is national. It's, you know, the wages have not kept up with the cost of living. We all know that. That is especially apparent when you start looking at these numbers, because between 2020, between the pandemic in 2020 and now, there's a 148% spike in the cost of that two-bedroom apartment. And we all know it because, you know, you've got people griping because of property taxes being so high. And we saw our valuations, those of us who own a home saw our valuations go up. I mean, it's obvious that the, you know, the value of property has gone up, and that has led to this. And the fact that the wages just haven't kept pace and the cost of living keeps going higher. And, you know, I suspect that the numbers that were given for this report, if they updated them now, would be even more than that $6 an hour.
Mm. Yeah. You kept mentioning wages, but it's a combination of wages and also the housing stock.
Right.
I mean, much does housing, you know, there's not enough places to live. So therefore, if you have, it's a supply and demand.
Yeah, it is supply and demand. And one of the big problems with the housing stock is zoning laws. Zoning laws, they, you know, the way they're written, many times they really cause, they drive the price of housing up. So it makes it very hard for someone who's trying to put in affordable housing to keep it affordable, because they might have to make it bigger than they want to make it. And they might have all kinds of regulations that they need to jump through in certain places. And, you know, and then where that property is and you know, how that can be affordable is another question, because if you're putting the property where people are, where they need to be, it's more expensive than if you put the property out in a cornfield somewhere. But if you put it in a cornfield somewhere that, you know,
who wants to live there?
Yeah. Well, and then if that person, you know, if you're only making that, can you afford transportation of your own? Mm-hmm. So how do you get there? I mean, I know where I live there, if you didn't have a car, you would be sunk. I would have no way to get to work if I didn't have a car. But, you know, a lot of low income people in that lower spectrum, they don't have a car. They don't have reliable transportation. And so it really does add another layer of complexity to the whole problem.
And I mentioned the issue in Columbus, but the Out of Reach report did the entire state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. So for the full state, the average Ohio renter earns $18.60 an hour,
but they need to earn more than $22 an hour, about $22.50, to be able to afford the average two-bedroom apartment in the entire state.
Right.
So it's not just a city problem. I mean, it's the whole state.
It is the entire state. And, you know, I think Ohio's probably not an outlier. If you go to other states, you probably have the same kind of thing. In fact, I think that's what we've seen in studies. You know, one of the other things that stuck out to me in this report is of the 15 most common professions in Columbus, in Ohio, right here in Columbus, Ohio, 15 most common professions, only four of them make enough to afford that two-bedroom apartment.
That seems pretty staggering. Yeah.
That is staggering. I mean, that's pretty big. That's a lot of people out there. And so what do people do when they can't afford apartments, can't afford housing? You know, they work multiple jobs, which causes a lot of problems. You know, there's all kinds of issues out there that really are not good related to the fact that people just can't afford to live.
This report came from the National Low Income Housing Coalition, so a national group, and it's called the Out of Reach Report. Was this new to you, or is this report an every year thing?
And it's an every year thing. They put it out, and they kind of look at, you know, where the nation stands in Ohio, where Ohio stands, and it has been showing for many years that Ohioans can't afford housing. That's been a constant theme. It's just gotten way worse in the last 5 years.
And in a few minutes, we're going to be talking with Amy Riegel, the executive director for the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio. I know you talked to her for your reporting, too. The idea of not being able to afford a home just worsens our homelessness problem as well. What did she tell you about that?
I mean,
we'll talk to her in a minute, but
yeah, and that's, you know, she did say it worsens the homelessness problem. You've got senior citizens out there who can't afford a basic apartment. I mean, when you have people who cannot afford to have a home, and I'm not talking owning, just renting. This is what this is looking at, is renting. But if they can't afford to live in a basic apartment, there's problems. It causes all kinds of trickle-down problems in the economy. And so that's what we see. We see a lot of that in Columbus, Ohio, and throughout the state. And while there are initiatives that are building affordable housing, it's not coming fast enough, and it's not at the volume that it needs to be.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the lack of affordable rental housing in Columbus with State House News Bureau reporter Joe Ingles. So you work at the State House. You see lawmakers every day. What is the government's response to this? I mean, it seems like one of the cruxes here is we need to get wages higher and rents lower. I don't know which one you do first. What do state lawmakers say about this?
Well, there are some affordable housing kind of initiatives out there, but a lot of those deal with building for people to buy into the housing market, which that is that actually helps because that takes more of the affordable apartments out there and makes them more available. So, you know, when you help lift the people who can afford to buy, but there's going to always be people who cannot buy a house for one reason or another. And as far as affordable apartments, there aren't enough of them. And at the State House, a lot of the attention lately has been on lowering property taxes for homeowners. And that seems to be where, and that needs, you know, that's also something that's causing problems, but in a different way. You know, the affordable housing piece of actually getting in there and digging and figuring how to get more affordable housing quickly, that's much more complicated. And a lot of that is at the local level because, like I said, the zoning laws, that's all locally controlled for the most part.
So would state lawmakers say that different cities and towns need to deal with this instead of they're going to deal with other issues?
Yeah, a lot of this does rely on cities and towns being able to deal with it. Now, there are some things the state can do, and they're looking at different things that the state can do. There's a couple of things happening with this property tax piece that's going on. There's a working group that's looking into how to lower property taxes. And as part of that, there might be some things in there that help lower the price of rent. You know, if you can lower those property taxes, make housing more affordable so that people can afford to stay in their housing and not get kicked out, then that takes some, you know, a little bit of stress off the existing rental system. But you still have a ton of people out there, it seems, who just cannot find. I know people who are looking for apartments right now in that reasonable kind of range. And it is very hard. I mean, it's kind of like winning a lottery when you get the apartment that you're looking at and you can afford it.
Mm. Can state lawmakers do anything to incentivize more building? Because, I mean, they're giving, you know, incentives to bring the Intels and the Anduril's and the mm-hmm. data centers here. Can state lawmakers do that? Or are they saying it needs to be each city doing the incentives?
Yeah, there are some state incentives in mm-hmm. development that were included in the budget mm-hmm. That could help with that. Whether it's enough is another question. And Amy would probably have a better idea of how that would work with, you know, affordable housing, making more of it more available.
What about wages? Does the state government have any way to lean on employers to increase wages faster? I'm not an economist. Neither are you.
No, I'm not. And I just know that every time, you know, the wage increase, minimum wage comes up, the Republicans do not embrace that. The Democrats like it. But, you know, here's the thing. There was an initiative to raise the state wages through a ballot measure, and it fell through last year. But that initiative would have only raised the wages to $15 an hour. Mm-hmm. You'd still be in the same situation at $15. That's how far down it is right now. It's so it's at the point where you really need to make $20 an hour to be able to, you know, or better, to be able to afford to live in Columbus. And that's not living. I mean, you think about it. If you have, if you're a mom and dad with two or three kids and you have a two-bedroom apartment, that's cramped. That's not like living in the life of luxury there. But they can't, you know, a lot of people can't even afford that.
Also, later in the hour, we're going to speak with the leader of Columbus's Affordable Housing Initiative, and they posted on their website and on their Instagram that recently their rental assistance program had to be cut due to federal funding cuts. Mm-hmm. So federal funding cuts are impacting this as well. If they can't offer rental assistance, that's going to be more people not being able to afford the rent.
Right, right. And, you know, these kind of things are not focused on by, if you look at the, you know, what lawmakers are talking about at the state and federal level, it is not this for the most part. It is other things that might affect it, but not really focused on rentals and making things more affordable for the people who make the least.
Yeah, we hear a lot about property taxes, as you said, but I don't really hear speech after speech about affordable housing.
No, I mean, that's when they talk affordable housing, it's, you know, we're going to get your property tax down. Mm-hmm. That's usually what they focus on. And like I said, that does help because, you know, when you take some people who maybe can afford to get into a home or stay into a home, it does take some stress off the rental system. But you still need to have rental properties, and we just don't have enough of them that are affordable.
Right. Everyone out there who's renting can't afford to buy a house. I mean, it's just, you know, the interest rates are high and the down payment requirement is out of reach for a lot of people. So renting is what they need to do.
And you need to have decent credit. And, you know, a lot of low income people, they don't have good credit for one reason or another. And it may not be something that they could control that, you know, put them in a bad situation. You know, a lot of these lower income jobs, you think about it, they don't have 401ks, they don't have sick leave, they don't have some of the safeguards that, you know, a lot of employees have. So one illness, one little thing can throw that family's budget way off. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that instability of income also adds into it because there's no backstop there to make sure that they can afford what they need.
We have been talking about the Out of Reach report regarding rent in Ohio and in Columbus. We've been talking with Ohio Public Radio State House News Bureau reporter Joe Ingles. Joe, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And coming up, we're going to talk about high rental rates lead to more homelessness. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
these days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. Rental prices have increased by 2.5% this year in Columbus, and homelessness in Franklin County has increased by about 7.5%. A recent report called Out of Reach showed that the average Columbus renter cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment in the city. Joining us now to talk about the state of affordable housing and the rental market in Columbus and all of Ohio is Amy Riegel, Executive Director of the Coalition on Homelessness and Housing in Ohio, a group that has been working since 1974 to tackle these issues. Welcome back to All Sides, Amy.
Thank you for having me.
So the report I mentioned is called Out of Reach, and it was put together by the National Low Income Housing Coalition. The most startling thing for me when I read this group has many reports, when I read some of the reports from them, is that Columbus affordable housing is worse than cities like New York and San Francisco. Does that surprise you?
It does not surprise us, because what we're seeing is that many of these larger cities have a long legacy of being some of the most expensive real estate markets in the country. Mm-hmm. And Columbus is in this really booming cycle right now where there's a lot of growth and a lot of need, but we don't have the history and the runway of dealing with these issues with policies and programs to kind of help temper the rises in rental cost. So it's not surprising, because it's almost like we're new at it and we have to adjust to this place we're in today.
So New York City has had more runway to build more affordable housing than we have.
Yes, and to put in practices and policies that would help to keep housing more affordable for renters, which is not necessarily something we've had to do in the past in Ohio.
Now, the group that came out with this report, Out of Reach, is called the National Low Income Housing Coalition. Does your organization work with them at all?
We do. We're very close partners. We're actually a member of their organization, and they put out the report every year for every state in the U.S.
Okay. Do you help provide information to them? Or
most of the data comes from national sources that are public information, like the U.S. Census Bureau and a lot of the rent reporting websites. And so they are able to source all of the information, usually on their own, and to make sure that it is apples to apples to apples for all 50 states.
And you said usually like that because there's worries about national data changing because of ways it's being collected. Is that why you said it like that?
Yes. And sometimes in states, there may be some type of anomaly that happens that makes the information more difficult to collect. They do it for, you know, any state that may experience like a natural disaster. And sometimes because of that, the data that they're collecting might be a little bit stale because it's not reflecting something that's happened very recently. And so sometimes local data sources are used.
Okay. So to get back to the Out of Reach report, the average rate of a two-bedroom apartment in Columbus is $1,445 a month. Now, numbers are hard on the radio, but, you know, a little more than $1,400 a month for a two-bedroom apartment in Columbus. So to be able to afford that, a Columbus renter must earn $28 an hour. But the average income in Columbus is $22 an hour. So you don't have to be a math genius to know that that math ain't adding up, right?
The math isn't mathing,
right,
as the kids would say.
Right. So that difference in the average income and the cost of a two-bedroom apartment, were you surprised when the Out of Reach report showed that?
We are surprised at how fast Columbus is increasing. So we watch these numbers year over year. If we look back to 2020 to 2022, we saw increases that were fairly steady from year to year, but we were surprised if it was going up 50 cents or $0.80 was something that was astronomical. Now we're seeing it go up multiple dollars per year. And so this pace is very surprising, and it demonstrates what many people are feeling in their pocketbook every month as they try to pay their rent.
So what do you think the main causes of this finding are? Why is a two-bedroom apartment here cost so much?
So there are multiple factors that are at play here, but one of the biggest factors is that we just have a large deficit of housing. And so we are short 264,000 units of housing across the state of Ohio. And so because of that shortage, it does create that supply-demand curve to get out of whack. And so we see low supply, high demand, prices are going to go up. That is part of it. The other part is also that it's becoming more expensive to develop in Columbus. Land is no longer as inexpensive. There's a longer process to developing. And so all of those go into creating inflationary factors on the price also.
When you get a report like this, the report's called the Out of Reach Report, what does your organization do with it?
So we do look at this information year over year to see how is Ohio trending. We do compare ourselves to other states, and then also we compare kind of county to county to see how different areas of Ohio are managing through housing efforts and through building and rental markets. And so we use this to kind of be a barometer for what's the health of Ohio right now and to help us look at different types of policies that we might need to try to enact in Ohio to improve the situation.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the lack of affordable rent in Columbus with the Coalition on Housing and Homelessness in Ohio Executive Director Amy Riegel. So be that barometer for me. When you saw this report, and did you compare Columbus to Cincinnati to Cleveland? Like, or how's it going?
What we see is that Columbus is going up much faster. And it's not just Columbus. When I say that, I don't mean just the city proper. Mm-hmm. We see many of the surrounding counties also are experiencing the same inflationary cost of housing. And so that is going up very quickly. We see that wages are going up. I don't want to act as if wages have not increased over the last 5 years, but they're not going up as fast as the rent is. When we look at the rest of the state, it can be an interesting mixed bag because in some areas, especially in the more rural areas or Appalachia, the cost of housing is lower. You don't have to earn as much to afford a modest two-bedroom apartment, but the wages are off also much lower. Mm. So the delta that we see between what people make and what they need to make is significant all across the state, showing that we definitely have a supply issue that is at work here.
Now, the increase in rent prices impacts everyone. I was talking with one of my student producers about the cost of rent around Ohio State's campus, and I could not believe the price increases that they are dealing with. But at some point, won't some of these landlords run out of people who can afford the high rent and they'll have to lower it? Or am I just not understanding the real estate market well enough?
I think we're at this intersection where, yes, that is true. But right now, because of the higher rents, they're also able to stomach a higher vacancy rate. Mm-hmm. So 5-10 years ago, a landlord had to stay at 97% occupancy in order to be able to meet cash flow with the lower rent levels. Now that in some cases in the last 10 years, rents almost doubled, they can sit at 85, 90% occupancy and still make the same amount of money because they're still paying the same mortgage on the property. Taxes have gone up, insurance has gone up, but not that much. So what we're seeing is units that are idle, that are just sitting in communities with no one living in them, where if we just lowered rent slightly, you could have people living in those units. But because they're at such a high level, you can maintain the vacancy rate and people aren't getting that place to live.
Are there incentives that we can give landlords to make them lower the rent?
So this is an interesting place. And I think this is sometimes where the dialogue becomes more difficult in Ohio, is because we fought for 10 years now to figure out what we do when vacancy rates are only 1 or 2%, right? Mm-hmm. We had such high occupancy levels that it was always like, how do we help landlords manage with the, you know, do turns faster or to, you know, get people in quicker? And now it's an incentive to just not let it sit there. So it is the way the tide is turning, and we all have to suddenly adjust to this new reality within the state.
Can you tell me the type of people this impacts? Because, you know, I mentioned anecdotally an Ohio State student dealing with increasing rent prices. And so whenever you talk about, you know, your organization, the Coalition on Housing and Homelessness, you know, I don't know that the average person would think of, when they think of homelessness, they would be worried about a college student. But it does impact a lot of people.
It definitely impacts a lot of individuals. And as we look each year at what you have to earn to afford this modest two-bedroom apartment, we also look at the jobs within the state. Mm. And what are those jobs paying in comparison to this $2,779? And so if we look at the top 15 jobs in the state of Ohio, so these are the jobs that the most people occupy, only 4 out of 15 pay enough for a person to afford a modest two-bedroom apartment.
Oh, like what are those? Like, what is an example?
So a truck driver would be one. Also, general managers. I'm not sure exactly what that includes,
okay.
But that would be part. But when we look at the jobs that don't pay, it is your retail worker. Mm-hmm. It is home health care aides. It is cashiers, but it's also office clerks and laborers and fabricators, jobs that in the past were jobs that you could get and have enough earnings to be able to take care of your family. These jobs no longer pay enough, and individuals are really struggling. And this represents 21% of the jobs in the state of Ohio. So it's not just a small itty-bitty group of individuals. It is 1/5 of our jobs here.
So do we need to be working on getting jobs to pay more? Do we need to work on building more housing, or do we need to work on the rent amount? Which one of those three comes first?
Is there a D, all of the above
option? I didn't include that, but sure.
So I think it is that in the long run, we have to be focused on supply and how do we build enough affordable units so that there is housing for everyone within our communities. But we do live in the state of Ohio. You can't necessarily build year round. And so it does take time to build more units. And so in the meantime, we do have to think about what else we can do. And that includes focusing on efforts that would help support rent for individuals, and also helping individuals to have wage increases in their work environments, or employers maybe to think about ways of helping to subsidize housing for their workers in an effort to keep those workers in their buildings.
Do you think we have to just settle on that a two-bedroom apartment is going to cost $1,400? Like, is that whenever you say you're building affordable housing, is affordable just any number less than that? Like, what does that mean?
So with the affordable housing, it's that anyone in our communities is not paying more than 30% of their income on housing cost. And so it is really a wide variety, from an individual who's earning minimum wage working full time to LeBron James. Obviously, he has more options than everyone else, but that everyone has affordable housing. And so we do have to focus on making sure we're building units that fit all of those demographics, not just that higher income demographic that can be kind of more appealing to many developers.
So a report like this that shows that, you know, the average person in Columbus and the surrounding area can't afford what the average rent is for a two-bedroom apartment, What is your organization going to do with that whenever you're talking to people at the state house or even if you're advocating at the federal level? Like what happens next?
We do use this because it does bust one of the common myths about individuals who are struggling to afford housing, that they're not working or that these are individuals who are not contributing to our communities. These are individuals who are not only contributing, but they are really important factors in our communities, and they're essential to the health of our largest employers. So as we talk about this, we try to illuminate the fact that so many hardworking Ohioans are really feeling it in their pocketbooks right now, and that it's not a choice that they can sit there and say, well, I just won't have housing this month. It is something that we need day in and day out. And then to really talk about what does it look like to create solutions. I know these numbers sound big, and as we talk about this, it sounds like a huge issue, but Ohio is doing better than many other states in the country. And we are still at the point where we could solve these issues if we all come together and really focus in on efforts. And so we're not so far gone as it's just a runaway train that we're never going to be able to stop. This is something we can address, but we can't wait. We have to start acting now.
And it makes me feel like we need more money to build houses faster. Is that, I mean...
We do need more money to build housing faster, and we also need for the process of building housing to be quicker. So we already know that...
With passing codes and stuff, yeah.
Passing codes, permits, things of that nature, mm-hmm. Making those more expedient would help in the process also.
Well, I want to thank you for your time. You've been listening to Amy Riegel, Coalition on Housing and Homelessness in Ohio Executive Director. Thank you for joining us, Amy.
Yes, thanks for having me.
And coming up, we're going to be talking about a new information hub that is working to help combat eviction problems in the city. That's when All Sides continues on 89.7 NPR News.
These days, there's so much news, it can be hard to keep up with what it all means for you, your family, and your community. The Consider This podcast from NPR features our award-winning journalism. 6 days a week, we bring you a deep dive on a news story and provide the context and analysis that helps you make sense of the news. We get behind the headlines. We get to the truth. Listen to the Consider This podcast from NPR.
You're listening to All Sides. I'm your host, Amy Jurevich. There are many resources out there to help renters with all sorts of problems, but sifting through links to find those resources can be tedious. Rentful is an information hub created by the Affordable Housing Alliance of Central Ohio. The hub was created to combat the eviction crisis in Columbus. And joining us now is Carly Booz, Executive Director of the Affordable Housing Alliance of Central Ohio. Welcome to All Sides, Carly.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So we spoke earlier in the show about a new report, the Out of Reach report, that showed that the average person in Columbus cannot afford a two-bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. The report says that to afford a two-bedroom apartment, you need to make $28 an hour. But the average income in Columbus is about $22 an hour. Do those numbers surprise you?
Unfortunately, they don't. No. And it's really important to note, too, that that's the rate for the region as a whole is around $28 an hour. If you zoom in to some of our neighborhoods, it can be a lot more. So Gahanna, Hilliard, those groups are well over $30 an hour that you need to earn to be able to afford to live there. And some of our more exclusive communities, so the Dublins, the Upper Arlingtons, even downtown Columbus, those are bordering on $40 an hour that you need to earn. So if you aren't making $80,000, $85,000 a year, there are very few, if any, housing options, despite those communities having huge workforce needs. They've all got a Starbucks. They've all got janitorial services. But the people who are working in those communities are finding it very difficult to live there.
The average two-bedroom apartment costs $1,445, according to this report. So a little more than $1,400 a month. So a lot of people you know, I see comments sometimes on rental sites where they're saying, that's more than my mortgage. Why would you bother renting? Can you explain why people bother renting, why they have to rent?
Yeah, well, the median home right now to buy as a home buyer is $350,000. And if you're looking at a 6.5% interest rate, you're talking about a mortgage payment that's going to be $3,200 a month. So there aren't great alternates.
Not to mention needing the down payment now, because years ago, you could get away with buying a house with a tiny down payment, but that's not the case now.
So that's one of those myths that kind of sticks with us. I think right now, the average down payment that somebody puts down is in the 4% range. So you can absolutely be able to buy a home without a huge pile of savings behind you. But 4% on $350,000 is still quite beyond a lot of people's means.
So when we were putting together this show to talk about the Out of Reach report, my student producer was doing some Googling on the topic, and she was just looking around about rents and came across your site, Rentful. Your website says, no one in Franklin County should lose their home to eviction. Central Ohio renters and landlords can get help. So you're working with both renters and landlords. So I wanted to talk about both of that. So let's start with the renters. Tell me about Rentful, what it does, and how it helps renters.
Yeah, well, the history here is important. So Rentful was a child of COVID-19. It was a pandemic baby. And what we saw, especially in that early kind of 2020 time period, is that lots of people were experiencing severe housing instability and people who had never been in that position before, right? So I'm talking about like full-time 9-to-5 workers who were suddenly laid off and for the first time in their lives were realizing how close to the brink they were. They didn't have any familiarity with the social service systems. They didn't know where to begin. And on top of that, you had a lot of folks who were saying that they could help, a lot of potentially not great actors who were trying to take advantage of that information gap and do some really scammy things. So Rentful 614 came about and saying, we need to be out there. We need to be as prominent as we can be. We need to be wholly transparent, wholly truthful, and easy access to the resources that exist. And we were lucky because at that time, we had a lot of federal funding that was coming through to stabilize that housing market and to make sure that people were not losing their homes, whether they were renters or homeowners. So we had good, reliable information to be able to share.
So was Rentful supposed to be a short-term thing? Should it have been gone by now?
Yeah, it was COVID, so I don't know that we were thinking that far ahead. It was building the plane and flying it. We knew it was important in that moment. What we have found, though, is first, for the next couple of days at least, those resources still exist. So if you do know somebody who's experiencing housing instability and they are concerned about being able to pay the rent, they should continue to go to that website. But even outside of those grant programs that were available, we found that there was a real need for knowledge of what the housing rights situation looks like. What is my obligation as a tenant? What do I have to do to maintain this property? And then vice versa, what is my landlord's obligations? What does he owe to me under Ohio law? So being able to have a nice, stable home for that was really great. And being able to make it look beautiful and be very user-friendly was all kudos.
It is a very pretty website, I will say that. Yes.
Thank you.
Is Rentful a national program? You called it Rentful 614, or is it just here?
It is not. So okay. The Affordable Housing Alliance, generally, we're not connected to any national organizations. Mm-hmm. We're exclusively committed to what is needed here in Central Ohio. But when we created the website, we did a lot of engagement with the end user. We were talking to people who would have been kind of like the perfect constituent to use the website. And we said, well, what do you need? And what we heard was a lack of trust, right? I don't trust these national groups. I do think that they're scammy. I don't trust sometimes the government. So what we needed was something that was new and unique and different and beauty forward. And we worked with a small hometown developer here, Fringe 22, to create the website. And it's gorgeous.
It is. Yes. It's very user friendly. I was able to navigate it. So it says that you help renters and you help landlords. Most people don't think of landlords needing help. What do you do for the landlords?
So the landlords are the ones who need the rent, right? Mm-hmm. If somebody is unable to pay their rent because of COVID-19 or because of any of the other personal emergencies that pop up any given day, right? People are still getting sick now that the pandemic is over. People are still experiencing job loss, even though the pandemic is over. So those kind of micro emergencies, it may start at that individual in that household, but it very quickly becomes a landlord's challenge if they're not able to pay their own mortgage or if they are not able to pay their property taxes. So rental assistance really at the end of the day is a landlord subsidy.
This is All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. We're talking about the lack of affordable rent with Carly Booz, Executive Director of the Affordable Housing Alliance of Central Ohio. Now, you mentioned this just a second ago. There's a statement on your website, and it was posted on your Instagram account, that announced the ending of the rental assistance program because of federal funding cuts. So tell us what happened there.
So this was a date that we knew was coming. The pandemic was going to end. The instability that stemmed from that was not going to be permanent. So the Emergency Rental Assistance Program was always set to end on September 30th, 2025, and we're here. Columbus, in particular, has been very fortunate because we were so incredibly effective in how we used those funds that we continue to get more. As other cities struggled to roll out their programs or do so effectively, the government would turn to us and say, hey, Columbus, can you take on some more? Can you use more resources? And we very quickly
yes,
said,
please.
Absolutely.
Give me the money.
So we are one of the last cities, if not the very last city in the country, to still have these resources available. And it's because of how effectively it was operated. Now, one of the things that a lot of us hoped is that the track record of success that we built would allow for this program to be extended in a new format. It was never going to be pandemic sized. It didn't need to be that large, but some sort of constant, steady hum for those daily emergencies. There had been talk in Congress about an Eviction Prevention Act. We saw a lot of work around the research side of that. It doesn't look like that's going to be in the cards this year. So that program will end. Now, the city of Columbus has been very forward-thinking, and they knew that the state was on the calendar. So just a week ago or so, at the last city council hearing before the August recess, they passed the Resilient Housing Initiative. So here locally, we are going to continue that trajectory, and we are going to have a basic level of support for people who are in the most extreme housing situations and most vulnerable to homelessness.
Okay, so prior to the federal funding cuts and that you knew the September 30th date was coming, the rental assistance program, you could fill out a form and apply and say, I need help for X number of months. Here's what's going on. And then did you have a process to approve people? Is that what would happen?
Yeah, everybody would need to be able to prove that they were eligible, that they had an authentic need, that it was something that was largely out of their control, and that the landlord was willing to accept those payments.
Okay. So, and did you see, because I'm assuming since this started in COVID, you saw a lot of people in 2021, 2022, but were you expecting the number to go down, and did it go down that much? What did the early 2025 look like?
So the need stayed incredibly high. The reason changed. It wasn't layoffs because of the pandemic. That's not what we are seeing now. Everybody's back to work. What we are seeing are a lot of folks who are working full time, sometimes 50, 60 hours a week, but their pay just is not keeping up with the rents. It's exactly what that out of reach report was talking about. We are seeing it manifest in our eviction process, in our homeless shelters every day. More and more and more people who are walking into a shelter are doing so knowing that they got to wake up at 6 a.m. to get to work the next day.
Your statement that pops up on your website saying the rental assistance program is out of money, basically, also says that you have a wait list. So are you hoping to find more money? Is that why you're creating a wait list?
So here in Columbus, we are going to have that Resilient Housing Initiative. So there's going to be a transition. We need to close out one program so that we can start up the next one. We want that to be a very seamless transition. So that wait list is going to let us move really quickly once we are there. But I do need to be clear that that's a small program. And it's not going to be for everybody. It's really going to focus on households that are in the most extreme situation. So households that not only are at risk of an eviction and potentially already had an eviction, but folks who even after that have nowhere else to go. Mom won't take them in. They don't have a cousin that they can crash with. Their only next step is the homelessness shelter and being able to pull them back from that brink and give them just enough stability to get back on their feet.
Do you try to keep them in the current place they're in?
Yes.
Or do you, okay. Or do you work to find a less expensive place?
Yeah. And it's very human, right? This is a very social work forward sort of program because not everybody needs rental assistance. What some folks need is to have a neutral arbiter who can talk with their landlord and just work through conflict and say, you know what, everybody back to their own quarters. Just somebody who can kind of be that mediator. That's fantastic. Some people just need help connecting with a better job. It's not a housing challenge at its base. It's an employment challenge. By working with a social worker, they can find that wraparound support that they need. For those who do need rental assistance, it is by far and away less costly to keep someone at home where they are now and stop the eviction than it is for them to go through the homeless shelter system.
Now, your website has a link to housing resource specialists. You call them problem solvers. Mm-hmm. Are these people employed by you or are they volunteers? What's a problem solver?
So this is really a City of Columbus program, and there's a lot of groups who are doing this work now. It's about 25 different organizations. What the city wanted to see was somebody in everybody's neighborhood, right, where you have trust, you have familiarity. It's a nonprofit that is very hometown feeling. And it is that kind of social worker approach, right? Let's sit down and let's do a very intensive investigation of what your specific challenges are. And then we're going to come up with an action plan that is unique to you. And it really has been phenomenal.
Do you have any, have you seen the positive effects of Rentful? Can you have any anecdotes you can tell us where like people, the Rentful program has successfully supported someone?
Yeah, I mean, certainly the website is very dynamic, so you can find almost all of the answers that you need right there on the website. But we do get a lot of emails from people who say, I was in a tough spot, right? I had just gone through a divorce, or I had just been laid off from a job that I worked 20 years, and I didn't know what I was going to do, but you helped me get to the right place. Mm-hmm. One of the numbers that I always mention is that if Rentful 614 was a storefront, right, instead of a virtual website, it was a physical place in our community, and it lived at the courthouse where these evictions are taking place. The amount of traffic that we see to that website every month, if it was a long line of people, would go out the courthouse and would go down High Street and it would go past the Columbus Commons and it would go past the Short North and it would go past campus and it would grind all the way up Lane Avenue and then it would walk itself right into Ohio Stadium every single month. That's the length of need that is in our community every single month.
So people are going to the website and so they're clicking around, they're trying to figure out what they need, because you created it as a one-stop shop so that people didn't go to the wrong place, basically.
Yeah.
Right?
And you can go in there and you can find what that need is. Mm-hmm. So if you need emergency rental assistance, we do have the rent help section. You can go there. If you need a problem solver, that kind of one-on-one guide, you can go to the problem solver. If you need to know your rights and responsibilities, you can go there. I should also note that we have a companion website now. It's called Bloom 614, which is that same wrap around all-in-one spot approach, but for all things home ownership, whether you're looking to become a homeowner or you already are and you need to make sure that you can maintain that.
Why'd you call it Bloom?
Because it's about growth. It's about flourishing in the communities that we love.
You mentioned that the city is helping support you. Franklin County's listed on the website. How does Franklin County work with it?
So Franklin County has the Prevention Retention Contingency Program. It's incredibly small, but if you are in a household with a minor child or a woman who is pregnant, there is some very limited assistance to help you be able to pay rental arrears. It is too small. It is a federal program. We know that it can and should be bigger. But as a resource here in Franklin County, it's necessary.
What would you like people to know going forward? You know, you lost the federal funding, but you have some money coming in from the city. That, you know, obviously from this out of reach report, the idea of rent being too high is not going away. We're not building houses fast enough. What do you want people to know with the next 6 months, next year?
This is an entirely fixable problem. The housing challenge that we are facing right now was created by the laws and policies that we adopted, and it's being perpetuated by those policies, which we have the right and the obligation to change. And inside Central Ohio in particular, I'm incredibly optimistic that we are on a good path to do so. We are looking at hitting this problem from all sides. We're modernizing our zoning code. This fall, City of Columbus voters are going to be able to say yay or nay to a $500 million affordable housing bond. That's deep affordability. We are looking at the Resilient Housing Initiative for emergency stabilization, and all of this is being complemented by tenant protections, anti-discrimination laws, fair housing regulations, to make sure that we are looking at this not just from a quantitative, we need more housing standpoint, but a qualitative. We need high quality, safe, decent housing for every single one of us.
So we need to build it faster, but it has to still be high quality. We can't build
We can't build junk.
And slum housing is probably not the solution that anybody's looking at. But I got to come back to the fact that we are in such a great position. We just finished our first ever survey of what residents of Central Ohio want. 80% plus of folks are in that yes in my backyard category. They fully support their local governments in passing these laws and advancing them. And the naysayers are incredibly small, generally in the 3%, 4% of the entire population range. And I'm getting a little long in the tooth. I don't know that in my life and my career I have ever seen an issue that has 85% support across the board.
Thank you so much for your time. We've been talking with Carly Booz, Executive Director of the Affordable Housing Alliance of Central Ohio. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much.
This has been All Sides on 89.7 NPR News. I'm Amy Jurevich.